is an interview with Louise Dillo by Virginia Hanna for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted in Mrs. Dillo's home at South Shore, Kentucky on August the 25th, 1978. Well, Louise, you're so kind, and let me come to your house here to talk to you. And I want you to tell me about your childhood days. First, I want you to tell me the name and the birthplace of your parents.
I'm not sure of that.
The birthplace and all. You don't know that. Well, their names
sure.
Is all right.
My mother was Effie Dowdy, D-O-W-D-Y. And my father was Fred Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. I remember my father's hometown was Ironton, but now where he was born, the year, I'm not sure, Virginia.
Well, that's all right. I know Mom knew Effie so well.
Yeah.
She knew her. And I expect maybe they'd be close to the same age. Would Effie be about 88 or so now, 86?
She's been dead 35 years. It'll be the 10th of September. She was 55.
Well, that's not too much different. Now, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had four sisters and two brothers.
Well, would you name them for me?
I'll come down the line.
All right.
Earl, Irma, Avril, Darlene, and Omer, who's known as Pokey.
Oh, yes, that Pokey. Were all your brothers and sisters born at home?
I think they were all born in Kentucky, too, in Fullerton.
Uh-huh.
I believe they were.
At the home, though.
I think so. Uh-huh. I was born in Portsmouth.
Uh-huh. When you were a child, who had the word of authority, Mom or Dad?
Mom. Of course, we were more afraid of my father.
Probably he was at work more, and Mom was at home.
Yeah, we listened to our mother more than we did our father. If they disagreed, why?
How much schooling did you get?
I only completed the 8th grade. I didn't like anything about high school.
Now, they did have a high school here at Fullerton when you were growing up. I know Darlene went to high school, but did the others?
Pokey and Irma did. I'm not sure about Earl.
Uh-huh.
He's my senior, but they all went farther in school than me because I didn't like anything about high school.
Well,
I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not a good word, but I did.
Well, as long as you didn't like it, that's all right to say it. Now, you had a particular trade, and it was very interesting. I know that every day you had something new coming up. Would you tell me what that was and when you went into this kind of work?
Well, I'm studying about the year. I was only 13, and they had only let me work through summer vacation.
Uh-huh.
And I worked at the telephone exchange. It was at Mary Fullerton Burke's across the street from us.
Yeah.
I just ran across the street to go and answer the telephone, answer the switchboard. And it really gets in your blood. I really like the work.
Well, now, how did you happen to start doing that?
Well, I just seemed to be intrigued with it, being at Mary Fullerton's, and it was there handy. I don't know. There's just something about it. It just got in my blood.
Well, describe the job that you had to do when you first started.
Well, we had two girls worked through the day, covered the switchboard. We had the one switchboard. And one of the hours was 6:30 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon. And the other one came in relieved, whichever one was getting out 1:30. They relieved at 1:30, and they got off at 8:30 at night. And then Mary Fullerton took care of it at night. It was in her home. And, of course, she had a bed and everything there. She could just retire and get up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a lot of our business depended on the river, the dams, raising or falling, or doctor's calls or ambulance calls.
But probably the night hours were not busy like they are now.
That's right, they weren't. Because we could sleep some at night, but we'd just get up and down. We had a night alarm, we'd set, and we'd get up and down and answer the calls.
Now, how did you learn your job?
Well, I suppose Mary Fullerton must have learned. She was a neighbor of ours, and the switchboard was in her home, and she seemed to our family.
Maybe going over there and watching her got you interested.
I got real interested.
And you learned a lot probably just from watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know when she first put that switchboard into her home?
No. I believe they used to own it themselves because her and her sister Carrie used to go out and climb the poles and fix the lines and flat haul them around.
Yeah.
And then they seemed to have sold it to the Portsmouth Home Telephone. Mm-hmm. And then we took our orders from the Portsmouth office, you know.
Would you say that was the first exchange in Fullerton?
I believe so.
I bet it was.
I believe so.
Well, then there wasn't any competition, was there?
No.
Nobody else wanted it. But was there any competition for your particular job? Were other girls wanting to get your job, do you think?
Well, not that I can think of.
Uh-huh. Then there was Mary, yourself, and two other girls.
There was two girls through the day, and then Mary at night.
Uh-huh. And then you filled in the summertime.
I was only 13, uh-huh. And I had to quit to go back to school.
Yes.
And I can't say the year, definitely, that I did go to work there. Anyhow, then some trouble brewed out. After I went back to school, but Virginia, I can't tell you the year. I don't know.
Well, that's all right. You don't have to tell me the year. We know about when it was, but early I forgot to ask you when you were born, and I was supposed to do that.
Born 1909. October 1st, 1909.
So, 13 years after that, make it about 1922.
Well,
mm-hmm.
And it must still been at Mary's in 25. It was at Mary's in 25, but I forget what year they did away with it, and she ordered them to move it out of her house.
Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that in, around 1930 or 31, there was still an exchange here. There was?
No, I can tell you definitely. They moved it. I don't know what year they moved it in our home, but Mary ordered them to take it out of her house. So Mr. Bushman was our lineman then, Lee Bushman, and he went to bat, and he talked it over. He was a good crony of my dad. They were both from Ironton, Ohio. Uh-huh. And so he talked us into having it put in our house then. He helped make the ring a go-between.
Mm-hmm.
And so they moved it in our house, and then we moved down on Stoner Hill. And then they did away with our office. I remember that. It's the last in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
They did away with the Fullerton office, and they took our customers to Portsmouth, our subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
They was taking care of them in the Portsmouth office. So I went to work. My sister Avril and I both went to work over in Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to work January the 1st, 1930, in Portsmouth.
Did you? Well, now, didn't Irma work for the telephone company?
Yes, she did, too. She worked when it was, she worked at it before we went to Stoner Hill, before we went down there, because she was married. I don't know what year she was married.
Well,
I should have made some notes on this.
No, that's all right. you don't need notes, just what you, the best you remember, and just in your own words. You don't, it doesn't have to be any particular format. Now, Avril worked a long time with you, didn't she?
Yeah, she worked here at the office there on Stoner Hill. She and I took care of it through the day, and my mother at night. It was in our home. And then when they did away with the switchboard in 29 and took our work to Portsmouth, Avril, she went to work, I believe, in December 29. Well, I hadn't had any vacation, so the chief operator said she really didn't need me. And she said, you just wait and take your vacation and wait and come in the first of the year. So then I started to work in Portsmouth, the Portsmouth office at 7th. They're back at Distal, 7th mm-hmm. there, off of Chillicothe. And I went to work there in 30, first day of January 1930. Mm-hmm. You know, Virginia, it changed name. The telephone company changed name 3 times while I worked for it.
It did.
Portsmouth Home, Ohio Consolidated, and General Telephone of Ohio.
When I had to make a call yesterday concerning my bill, and they answered something with Bell, and I don't know why, I had to go through the Portsmouth Exchange to get to Ashland.
Yeah.
And a fella answered the phone, which still surprises me. I always think I've dialed a wrong number when I get a young man's voice, you know. But I don't know why. Maybe that had to go up about Ireton or someplace, because that is Bell over there, isn't
it? It's Bell, but this over here, this office, the General Tel
yes,
of Kentucky.
Yes, uh-huh.
And they must be having problems. I got a man, uh-huh. too. When I,
yeah. I got a fella there, and then I got a girl in Ashland who said, she answered the phone with, this is Linda. And I said, will you tell your last name? And she said, no, I won't. And I thought, well, if I ask, she's going to ask my last name, and it's only fair she tell me, but she didn't. She said, that's all you need. But sometimes these bills are on your, these calls are on your phone bill, and you're trying to get them taken off, and you know you've talked to somebody, but you
like
always,
to know who you were talking
yes,
to.
Yes, I like to refer the supervisor then to that person. But as I said, I didn't get her name. Did you have to have any particular materials other than just your two good hands and an ear there?
Well, when they take appraisals on us ever so often, I don't know, they had service assistants over a certain group of girls, certain
yes.
amount,
uh-huh.
and then they would have us over at the desk and tell us what we did right and what we did wrong and the mistakes we made or things mm-hmm. we did we shouldn't have done. And I was always slow. They said I had a pleasant voice, but I was always slow. They said I was pleasant and nice to the customer, but I'm just considered slow. But we did. We had told, well, now, no, not on local. I'm thinking about long distance now.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
That's the last I worked mm-hmm. on. But on, no, you just had to, we just worked like fighting fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? On
sure.
local, what in our
yes.
local department.
Uh-huh.
And I know when Avril went to work on long distance, they used to say they thought they ought to get more money than we did because they had all this mental, you know, had to get it on paper,
mm-hmm.
had to get their calls, you know, and get them through. But we at the same time, we were working and answering our calls just fighting like fighting fire.
Sure.
Because those signals would all come in and they were expected to be answered
mm-hmm.
by somebody.
Right.
Although during the 37 flood, you couldn't see it. The switchboard just lit up like Christmas trees. You couldn't see what you'd done.
No.
You couldn't see. And I don't believe some of the people even hung up. They were all excited
mm-hmm.
and everything. But you couldn't tell it had been much simpler, though, if they'd have hung up, if you told them busy, you know, if they'd
mm-hmm.
have hung up. But I'm confident they didn't hang up, most
mm-hmm.
of them, because it seemed like you wouldn't even miss your signals. You couldn't
yeah.
see where you'd been.
Uh-huh.
It lit up like a Christmas tree.
Do you know, of all the people I've interviewed since I've been doing this for the Oral History Commission, you're the first person in this area who's mentioned the 37 flood. Now let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, we had the cots there, if I remember correctly, they had somebody in to cook for us. Seemed like it was a colored person. They had them in cooking for us, and we stayed there day and night. Because then they'd wake us up, you know, to went on our tour when we were needed, you know. Mm-hmm. And we got rest, and they fed us well and all, but it was just something else.
It was a terrible time.
Oh, mm-hmm. My, it was terrible.
I can remember that.
And I know I watched out through between the buildings one day. They took one of our night operators out and saw her, put her in a boat, mm-hmm. to take her out. And that was the last I saw her. She got pneumonia and died.
For goodness sake.
Hattie Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Now, with this kind of a job, did that give you a kind of a special role in the community? People thought, Louise is kind of special. You're really special, but community-wise.
Well, now, my friends, now, I won't say I'd like to go to bat and accommodate any of them.
Uh-huh.
But some of them was more appreciative than others.
Yeah.
And those that really appreciated, I'd go out of my way to try to help them,
certainly.
You know, get their calls through.
Yes.
Maybe ring them back if the line was clear, if I knew who they were, and I usually knew a lot of their voices.
Yes.
Over the years, hearing them. But I'd just bend over backwards to help them. But now some of those people, they just didn't give you credit for anything.
That's right.
You didn't put yourself out much.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean. Of course, we didn't have to do that.
No.
We didn't have to. I did it on my own, and I know when I went to work in Portsmouth, of course, we rang the longs and shorts over
uh-huh.
here. Longs and shorts, the telephone.
Yes.
And when I went over there, they rang just the opposite than what we did. The farm operator, the country girl, answered the people out in Sauter County,
uh-huh.
out in the country. They rang opposite from me.
Oh.
Like, we'd had maybe three longs and a short, and I don't believe they had. Anyhow, they rang differently,
uh-huh.
and I sat there with her, and she taught me what we call the multiple up here. They had it all around the rooms. It's 27, I believe, positions, and any girl could pick up a call from one end of the board to the other up in the multiple if they knew what they were getting, if they knew where they were. And working night work, you had to do that, or it would run you to death running around taking down connections and putting them mm-hmm. up, you know, to where the signals were coming
Surely.
In. But anyhow, I would sit there and we would answer our calls, as I say, from one end of the switch. They called us the multiple, and you could reach any number
mm-hmm.
up here in the multiple. But down here in front, they had the little drops. The farm operator had the little drops. When you crank, the little doors would fall down. You'd answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I got acquainted with some of those people out in Sauter County, down Friendship and
mm-hmm.
so on. And I didn't necessarily do it for the gifts, but I got several nice gifts from my customers where I'd call them back
uh-huh.
and be nice to them.
Surely.
And
mm-hmm.
they found out who it was. We didn't used to be able to tell our name.
Mm-hmm.
We'd refer them to the service assistant because we wasn't supposed to tell our names, mm-hmm. who we were. But I remember the Drumhellers that had the Flag Orchard
yes.
down at Buena Vista.
Uh-huh.
Lord, they sent me frozen chickens, and she sent me, I believe, cologne, and she sent me a dispenser, you know, and hand lotion. You know, she just sent me many different
uh-huh.
gifts. And then that Ross, that Mrs. Ross down at Friendship, she sent me, I think, tablecloths, and I don't know. They just sent me gifts. They're just
uh-huh.
real pleasant, real nice to me. But I enjoyed doing it for them.
Well,
I guess even if they never sent me anything,
that's right.
it didn't matter.
But that lets you know that you really were.
And they appreciated it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Some of them would call in and say, were you asleep? Have you been asleep? I've been trying to get you. Well, you don't appreciate remarks
no,
like that.
No, you certainly don't. I wanted to ask you, of course, I know you don't have children, but did any of the nieces or nephews go into telephone work, either linemen or operators or anything of that sort?
Eva Lou, Irma's daughter, Eva Lou worked in our business office for a short time, I don't know, before she was married. I don't know if there's any others or not.
Now, Louise...
Earl's boy, too, Jack. He worked for the telephone company a while, too, Jack Miller.
Yeah. But where is Earl now?
Cincinnati.
Is he? Mm-hmm. What's he doing?
He's retired. He retired on disability.
From what? I mean, what job?
Oh, Alice Chalmers in Norwood.
Uh-huh. Well, I kind of lost track of him. I really keep up with Pokey, but I lost track of Earl.
He's supposed to come back to the Dowdy reunion September 10th.
Oh, I was wondering about the reunion. Now, where is it going to be held this
Aunt
year?
Aunt Hazel's out in Malone. Aunt Hazel Rattler.
Uh-huh. Now, that's your dad's sister.
My mother's sister.
Your mother's sister.
Dowdy. See, they were Dowdies.
Uh-huh. Now, during the Depression, did your dad still have good work?
I can...
Of course, you were pretty well an adult then.
Yes, and I was working. I believe I was away from the dad then. Mm-hmm. But I was working, and I know Irma and Earl, I think, had a pretty rough time of it. Irma mm-hmm. and Earl Sammons.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I know I got reduced. My wages got down to $1 an hour, I believe it was. We got cuts, you know, mm-hmm. the Depression came along and we got cuts.
And you mean $1 an hour or $1 a day?
You're right. $1 a day. Uh-huh. We got down to $1 a day.
Well, I was going to say...
Yeah, $1 an hour had been pretty good money, wouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, shortly after that, I started teaching school for $57 a month.
Yeah, uh-huh. You're right, Virginia. Uh-huh. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I didn't mean to...
No, I'm glad you caught me on uh-huh. $1 a day was right.
Uh-huh. But you could buy so much with $1.
You know uh-huh. what? I went to Preston and got me 3 wash dresses for $1. One time to wear to work.
Well,
just cotton dresses.
But you know, now you buy a cotton dress and you pay $35 for it. Mm-hmm. You really do.
Everything was in accordance then.
Uh-huh.
It went right along.
Mm-hmm. When did you first vote?
You don't know. I don't remember.
But are you big on voting? You know, I mean, do you just have to get to the polls every time?
I forgot the last time.
I do
I'm
that.
I'm sorry to tell you. Yeah, I forgot.
Well.
I'm not a very good Democrat.
I wanted to go on there with your work as a telephone operator. Now, I know we got up there to the flood.
Yeah. Well, when I first went to work in Portsmouth, they started me in. My hours were 9 to 1 and 5 to 9. Mm-hmm. No one worked straight through. No one. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't believe I'll ever get up. I'll get off at 7 o'clock at night. I worked, I think, several years before I got... Because then I went back to 12 to 4 and 6 to 10. Nobody, as I say, nobody works straight through. Mm-hmm. You had an hour at least off for your lunch. Mm-hmm. But when I retired in 70, when I retired, I was working 6 to 3. I had an hour off for lunch. But I worked, I'd say almost straight through. But see that these operators, they were going and coming all time.
Mm-hmm.
They were going and coming at all times. And somebody had to be, the work has to go on regardless. And I used to feel bad about having to work every other Sunday. And I asked for Sundays off, and I got them off for a short time. The chief operator told me, she says, now, I'll let you have them as long as I can. And she says, when I ask you to go back, I expect you to go back on, you know, every mm-hmm. other Sunday. But I was off for a few years, I believe. I had Saturdays and Sundays off. But when I first went to work in the local department, in traffic, that's what they call our department, we had over 100 operators in there.
Mm-hmm. fine.
But I probably omitting something that I should have in, you know, tell him there. But I made a lot of friends. You know, when I first went over there, I was very bashful. I soon got away from that. Yeah, I got among a bunch of girls. And, you know, it just makes you feel so good that some of these girls have passed on now.
Surely.
But one girl in particular, I remember, she used to come along and she'd say, "How you doing, honey?" And you don't know what that did to me. That just lifted me because I was, there was one girl, I think the only girl I knew when I went to work over there. And
you really needed somebody to take you under their wing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And she made me feel that way. She made me feel at home. And just a little bit of a word of encouragement helps you so much.
It certainly does. And we all need a pat on the back every once in a while.
That's right.
Now, when you went to work for the phone company, everything was manual, right?
Yeah.
Before you left, I bet it was all automation.
Oh, yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy.
Now, when did that change? Oh, of course, it didn't all change at one time.
Oh, they took it in degrees, but I just can't remember when I went on long distance. But I went, I didn't want to go. I love local. I love local so well. And I didn't want to go on long distance, but it was either that or you didn't have a job.
That's right.
And we had to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what year, Virginia, I went on toll, long distance. It was interesting because when you pick up on those signals, you didn't know where you were going.
Right.
You might be going across the water, going foreign lands.
Sure.
You didn't know. It was very interesting, but to get that all down, I used to be considered a good speller when I went to school. But I tell you, these abbreviations sure does hurt your spelling.
Uh-huh.
Because we'd have to get it on paper as quickly as we could. And we'd have, like Philadelphia, P-H-L-A.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to get it down, P-I-T-B, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd want to get it down as quickly as possible and go ahead on it to secure our circuits and get through, get the call through for the customer.
Well, even the abbreviations that you used were not the abbreviations you learned in school.
No, no. And some of the places they have P-E-N-N for Pennsylvania and others P-A. I think we use P-A. But I believe Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, I think we only had to put the first. You know, we didn't put the last. But they've changed the abbreviations even now.
Yes.
Cut them down to two, haven't they? Tennessee, T-N.
Yes.
And we used to put T-E-N-N.
Yes. And, you know, I still do. I guess I'm just a little bit old-fashioned and stickler for what I learned. I wanted to ask you, too, if, the business there of automation, did that make you want to retire?
Well, no, I love my work awful.
Yes.
I loved it real good.
Well, I'll tell you, we'd be up against it now if you had to go, wouldn't you? And be on a job in Portsmouth with the bridge down.
I'm so thankful I don't work now, Virginia.
I'm so glad I retired.
And which reminds me, too, back to my schooling.
Yes.
You know, they requested a high school education. And if I hadn't have taken care of my job at the Fullerton Exchange and then been transferred to Portsmouth, I'd have probably been out of luck for my job because I didn't have no high school education.
You couldn't have gotten a job.
I couldn't have. It's a good thing I stuck with the job.
That's right.
Because they held me on that account, and otherwise I'd have been out. And you know, at one time they started laying them off, the ones that were married.
Yes.
They started laying off the ones that got married and they had to keep it a secret or they was out. So
and
then our union went to bat and sort of got that all ironed out.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about union, but I'm going to have to turn the tape over.
Okay.
Your air conditioner's nice. I couldn't do it without mine.
We're fixing to have central air put in.
We were talking on the other side of the tape there about the telephone exchange and all, and we'd gotten around to the union helping you out there. Would you just go on with what you were fixing to say?
Well, we belong to CWA, the Communication Workers of America, 4372. And I forget how many charter members we had, but I was one charter member, one of the first ones to sign to belong to the union. But we had to sneak around for quite some time till we got far enough along, organized far mm-hmm. enough along, that we could tell them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had to more or less be secretive in our work.
Sure.
Because we had some people that was watching every move we make and reporting back to the telephone company.
Yes.
And there at one point, of course, they would all take the raises that the union got for them, but some of them, yeah. I remember one girl in particular used to brag to me, I don't have to belong to the union, and so I don't have to pay union dues, and says, I get just as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't have done that, Virginia.
No,
I couldn't have. I wouldn't have took the money if I couldn't yeah. have backed up and paid my union
That's
dues.
Right.
But anyhow, then we finally got organized, and over the years, I don't remember how long it was, we worked and worked for several years to get a closed shop that everybody would have to belong,
mm-hmm.
because they were all deriving benefits from what
sure,
the union
right.
was representing the union members for. So they finally... they gave them a deadline. They had to be in the union. They had to belong, sign the card, and belong. Or at 5 o'clock, a certain evening would be their final. And I believe we had one girl. She gave up her job. She had seniority over me. She gave up her job before she belonged to the union.
Well,
but you know, Virginia, I thought more of that one girl, and I did another girl that used to laugh and say she didn't have to pay union dues,
mm-hmm.
and didn't pay union dues, and still she got the top wages.
Yes, but wonder why that lady would not belong to the union.
She just didn't believe in them, and that was her conviction. I thought
yes.
more of her than I did the other girl, because
yes,
the other girl signed at the deadline.
Uh-huh, yes.
And this girl went by her conviction. She... Mm-hmm. She didn't want a union, and she gave up her job.
Well,
but then we got the 100%.
Uh-huh. And I guess it's still a closed
Yes,
shop.
I saw the paper I got today uh-huh. that they've ratified a new contract. I think 3 years, I believe
uh-huh.
it is. I didn't go ahead and read the whole article in the general news.
Uh-huh. Now, they've moved the telephone office from 7th Street, but isn't there still something down there at 7th?
Our business office is there where they can pay the bills. Their
uh-huh.
people can pay their telephone bills.
Yeah.
But the other, they moved out the traffic department, some of the other departments, the plant and all. They're at Dewey and Albert.
Yes.
Down in Greenlawn Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. I know Mr. and Mrs. Ferguson that live across there from that, and I know a girl down at South Portsmouth who works over at the exchange, and
Janet Bailey.
Well, I know Janet too, but that's not who I was thinking of. I was thinking of
Quinnell
Miller. Yep. Mm-hmm. She's not Miller anymore.
Hamilton.
Yes. Uh-huh. But she had the same last name that you had before you were married, the Miller. That's something I neglected to ask you, but I wanted to get as much as I could there about the telephone company before I got into your getting married. I know you did get married. Did you marry young?
No, I was 26 the first time.
Oh, my. You took a long time to talk him into it.
I told him I was old enough I should have had better sense.
Now, you married Mr. Burgess, and then he died, and in the last, two or three years ago, you remarried.
In 74, April 6th, 1974, I married Earl Dillow.
Uh-huh. And now both of you retired, of course.
Mm-hmm. And we're thankful.
Oh, of course.
Especially with that bridge
uh-huh.
situation.
Did you work out at Dewey and Albert Street?
Yeah.
Well, that's where I was working when I retired.
Now, did you drive or did you ride with somebody?
I rode with somebody or rode a cab or I rode with different people sometimes, you know, be going my way.
Well, I didn't know if you drove.
No, I've never driven.
Well, I couldn't remember. But with no bus service, and we don't have bus service here, that makes it difficult for somebody who can't drive. I know the cabs are expensive, and sometimes the carpools are either not going your way or...
maybe not going the time we want to go.
That's right. And that's a good distance out to Dewey and Albert Street. That's...
I have walked it, but...
That's a long ways. I was going to say 20 blocks, but it's probably not that far from the bridge.
I don't know.
Well, now, I bet it is, too, because out at the cemetery, that's like 18th Street out there.
Well, what I was thinking, too, one of our offices down at 16th, too, down after you go under the underpass.
Yes.
The 16th Street there on the left, and you come the underpass going up to Waller.
Yes.
And I wouldn't doubt it, Virginia.
I bet it is
about 20 blocks.
Mm-hmm. And
in that neighborhood.
Yes, that's a bad neighborhood through there. Of course, you and I would consider it worse than some other people who would be used to all the black people, because that's a black neighborhood. And we're not used to minority groups. Not that we've got really anything against them, but the things that we don't really know are the things that we're afraid of. And now, when I went to Portsmouth to teach and had to have black children in my school, I really was afraid. I really was. But to have the job, I had to teach those children, and I made some good friends there. But I remember they used to think I was prejudiced because I lived on this side of the river. And I remember one little kid, well, every year somebody would say to me, "You don't like me because I'm black." And I really never had a ready answer until one day this kid said, "You don't like me because I'm black." And I said, "Well, by golly, you are. I hadn't noticed that." I had, of course. But he was as black as coal. He was so black he was almost blue, you know, like a piece of coal. But never had that said to me after that. But now, as you said, that is a rough, rough neighborhood out around Waller and around the N&W Railroad Station and in that particular vicinity there. That's rough. Those colored people are moving toward the hilltop, though, now. Those who can afford are moving up in there, and of course the white people are moving out in the country. Now, tell me the things you've done since you retired.
Well, Irma, my sister, and I went to the Holy Land with the Revival Fires team, Cecil Todd and his group. There was 276 in our group.
Oh, wonderful.
And when we met in New York to get our plane, of course, they furnished us with these red bags, you know, Revival Fires, to carry our extras in, like magazines or things that you want at your fingertips.
Uh-huh.
You didn't want to be locked up in your cases. And when I looked around, we got the elevator and went up to catch our plane. When I looked all around that room and saw all those people sitting there, I says, "We'll never get off of the ground." All these red bags. And so, but little did I know how powerful those planes are, those motors. My, my. Because I think the... All told, I think we had between 276 and 300 in the whole group, because I believe they put down at Rome and let somebody off. I think they did. I know they told us we wouldn't be getting off, for us to keep our seats, so we wouldn't be getting off. But I think they might have just put down the fuel, up. I don't know. But I thought there was some that was going to get off, you know, not go to the Holy Land with us.
Yes.
But anyhow, we had a 10-day stay, and it was really remarkable. Although I've said since, I didn't think it did for me what I thought it should have done for me as a Christian.
But Louise, I've had different people to tell me that the trip to the Holy Land, as you said, didn't do for them because it's more or less commercial now. You feel some commerce there, yeah. And you don't feel that ought to enter into that. Did you get that feeling?
Well, it is commercialized quite a bit. But I tell you, we covered so much ground, I can't even remember what all I saw.
Yes.
And we had people that had notebooks, you know, and they was making notes. Well, I'd have never gotten anywhere if I'd have been making notes what we were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I left it up to Irma to remember a lot of the places we saw. If you notice, at Sunday school, I let her speak up usually.
Surely.
When Miss Harper or someone asks mm-hmm. anything, because she can remember those places maybe better than I can.
Yes.
And that there was so much walking involved. Oh my, it was mighty tiring. But it was wonderful. But as I say, I thought it should have done a little more. I'm not blaming nobody but Sal.
Yes.
I felt that it should have done more for me than mm-hmm. what it did in my Christian life. Made me a little stronger.
Yes.
But it was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then we also went down to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Irma and I went with the Revival Fires teams there. And one nice thing about Revival teams, I'm going to get a commercial in.
That's all right.
They travel first class. They travel first class. The hotels and everything is first class. And it's really good. I enjoyed down there in the Caribbean Sea or Caribbean Sea. It is beautiful. We went to Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
See, how long were we gone? A week or 10 days? I don't know. A week or 10 days there. But, oh, we enjoyed it very much.
Well, that's great.
Of course, Irma went to Hawaii, but, yes. You know, I married a husband, so I didn't get to go to Hawaii.
You got married between the trips and the Hawaii trip.
But I enjoyed those trips very much.
Well, I know you did, and, of course, I know you enjoy your husband, too.
Oh,
he's a fine man.
Certainly.
I enjoy seeing him in Lodge. We missed you last week.
Yeah.
Now, right here in the community, you do a lot with the church.
Nothing like I should, but I lay that to not learning to drive. I wish in my younger years I would have learned. There's two things I wish I'd have done. I'd have took piano, mm-hmm. and learned to play the note, played anything
yes.
I wanted,
uh-huh.
and drive a car, because I figured when I retired, I'd get out and do some church work, mm-hmm. visit with these oldsters that are not able to get out and go,
right.
or get out and do calling, mm-hmm. inviting people.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's a poor excuse out. I don't drive. And you hesitate to ask somebody to take you everywhere you want to go.
Do you know, Louise, you almost have to be able to drive to get where you want to
that's
go
right.
when you want to go.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
That was going to be one of my questions. Was there anything that you had wanted to do in your life that you didn't do? So you kind of jumped the gun on me. You told me too. Well, let me ask you this. Of all the things that you've ever had in your lifetime, what was the most precious to you?
That's a little hard to answer. This good marriage, for one thing.
Well,
my last marriage.
Uh-huh.
It is a good marriage.
Well,
I had a good husband.
I know you do. I know
I
that.
I certainly do. And I appreciate him, whether he knows it or not.
Well, I bet he does, because I'm sure you're a good wife. But, it's no trouble for a person to answer that if they've got children. They always say, my children.
Mm-hmm.
That was their most precious possession. Now, your husband's your most precious possession.
I would say.
Well, I think that's marvelous. And I just think that's a good testimony for marriage. I really do. You surprised me when you said there that you had not learned to play the piano. I thought every one of you children played the piano.
Play the ear. But I don't know one note from
Well, but you do play.
Yes. But I wish I'd have taken lessons.
Yes.
The other children took a few lessons,
uh-huh.
but I never took any.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Irma plays so pretty, and I've heard Darlene could just make the piano talk almost.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Now, we did talk about those girls. What happened with them?
Darlene, she lived in Moorhead, Kentucky. She married a newspaper man, Snooks Crutcher, Edward.
No.
William Edward right. Crutcher. Uh-huh. But we called him Snooks.
Uh-huh.
But she died of cancer in 62, October in 62. Mm-hmm. Then Avril, she died
uh-huh.
in Kalamazoo, Michigan in 63, last of October in 63.
Well, they died awful close together.
As I said, in a year's time, we did gave up two sisters.
Mm-hmm. And you still have your brothers.
Yes, Pokey and Earl.
Yes, and you said Earl is retired and in Cincinnati, and we know that Irma just lives around the corner from you, and she lives for herself, doesn't she? That just leaves old Pokey. Now tell me about Pokey.
Well, he's minister up at Russell, First Christian Church, Russell, Kentucky. He has three boys, three sons, he and Nina.
Who did he marry?
Nina Boggs. She was the daughter of Estel and Virgie Boggs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in the ministry at Russell, I believe, 26 years.
Now, he was our minister here at the Christian Church before he went there, wasn't he? Now, of course, it wasn't the church we've got now, but wasn't he the minister here at South Shore?
He might have filled in some, but not too much. He preached out Carey's Run.
Yes.
I know it was a great decision for him to make. It was a hard decision for him to make, decide between the two churches, because they just loved him to death at both churches.
Well, he's a fantastic minister.
Yes.
Singer. Yes, and say poetry, and you know, he preaches beautiful funeral ceremony. He makes you aware that that's really not the end, it's just the beginning.
Speaking of consoling words at a funeral, they don't beat Clyde Callahan.
No.
I've got to put a commercial in for Clyde.
Yes. Now, what is Clyde to you?
He's my cousin. Our mothers were sisters.
Yes.
They were both Dowdies.
Uh-huh.
Sophia Dowdy.
Yes.
And George Callahan was his father.
And, of course, he's a minister out at Allen Chapel.
That's right. They love him to death.
Yes.
Out there. You know, Pokey used to call Clyde his little Timothy.
Oh, really?
His little Timothy in Christ.
Uh-huh. Now, Maud Waters and I went up to Pokey's church one day and visited there and heard him preach, and he was so glad to have us. And he's got a big church there.
Yes, he has.
And it has grown so much. This is why I feel, I mean, that's one good example of why I feel that a minister should stay at one church for a good number of years. I don't think they can leave and change ministers I don't think they can leave their church and go to a new one and build themselves up as a strong minister. Neither can the church grow by having a new minister just every little whip stitch.
I think you're right.
So, and
I've heard Pokey say before now that a minister could usually tell when he's done all he could do at a church.
Mm-hmm. But he works hard and he grows with the church every time I see him. Of course, I heard Pokey preach first probably close to 30 years ago. The first time I heard him preach, he preached Irma's baby's funeral at the house.
At Firebrick.
Mm-hmm. At Firebrick. Then, shortly after that, I was teaching at St. Paul, and we had 8th grade graduation exercises, and we had the whole works. I invited Pokey down to give the baccalaureate service. And he preached us a fine sermon, and the title of it was Every Good and Perfect Gift Comes from the Father Above. And as I look back, that was the title of the sermon when my baccalaureate was preached, and I don't know how he fell into that, but...
Did he preach your baccalaureate?
No. I'm a lot older than Pokey. I don't know how much older, but that was the title of the ceremony. It was preached at our baccalaureate. And then when Pokey came and preached the first one for us, he used that title. Then as long as I was at St. Paul, we had the baccalaureate and graduation services and ceremonies, and I always tried to get Pokey for the baccalaureate. Of course, he didn't preach the same sermon every time, but, you know, he always came, and we loved him, and he was somebody we knew that we could count on. Well, now, do you do as much quilting as Irma does?
No, I don't take after my mother like Irma. She's a good cook like my mother, and she's good with the needle.
Yes.
But not I.
Well, now, what are your, I don't want to call them hang-ups, that's not a good word, but hobbies. What hobbies do you have?
Watching the soap opera. You want
well,
the
now,
truth.
Yes, I do, and I know you read a lot.
Not too much.
Oh, don't you?
No, I should read the Bible more than I do, but I try to read a few chapters each day, or one anyhow.
I got a book from a lady when I retired, and the name of it is Share My Pleasant Stones. There is a one-page sermon for every day of the year. You should be able to get a hold of that. I don't remember the author. I'll write it down, though, and let you know, because that's a good book that maybe you'd like to get a hold of. And I love to read, so that's why I mentioned that. You did mention earlier about your politics. You said you're a Democrat. Now, you know,
that's
right. It never worries me a bit whether a person's Democrat or Republican. I never fall out with a person over their religion or their politics.
Isn't that foolish?
Yes, it really is. But, and you said that sometimes you forget to go vote. But do you remember any elections where there was what was just a little more interesting than any other time?
I was very interested in FDR.
Yes.
I think he brought us out of the slump or helped
us.
Yeah,
we certainly had gone
through.
The poor
people.
Yeah, we'd gone through a real bad time there. He was such a smart man, and he was a very aggressive man, and of course he had physical handicaps, which did not deter him in the least.
Yes.
What did you admire about him?
I think he was for the poor people. I think
yes.
He was for, and the good Lord must have loved us because he created so many of us.
Well, that's
poor
true.
People.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was for the poor person, the underdog, so to
well,
speak.
Well, he proved that, you know, with his job in office.
And I gave him credit for my raises after the, you know,
well,
after
sure.
I gave him credit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask you, I know there for a long time, we didn't have a South Shore, it was Fullerton, and most of Fullerton was below where we're located today, here at South Shore. I want to know what you can remember of how it got its name, and how it expanded, and just how the community's grown.
Well, I think it was named after the Fullerton family. You know, they used to have the switchboard in their home. There's Mary and Carrie and all of them. You know, there were several of those.
Yes.
And I think it derived its name from the Fullerton family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can remember when right over here by this filling station, Arnold Ruggles did
yes.
have. I remember that was a cow pasture.
Yes.
Before Jim Hanna and them came in and built this all up, built up South Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what year that was either, but I remember I used to go with my grandmother and my mother. We used to come up what they called the milk gap up there at Holbrook's.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come up there to feed their cow and milk, and then we'd go back home. We'd walk up And that was just a cow dad. That was a cow pasture over in here.
Well, I've heard Ernie say that this he'd seen all this in tomatoes through here.
It could have been.
Uh-huh.
It could have been. But somebody said this used to be swampy in here, mm-hmm. too.
Well, it's been built up and filled in.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I know that I went to school over at Fullerton. Well, that's almost directly across from you, isn't
it? Yeah.
But that was called Fullerton School, and that was in 1928.
That's where I got my education, over in that big two-story school.
Yes, now I was a little freshman over in that long white building, just a few months. My sister got married during that school year, and I had to transfer to South Portsmouth because we lived down at the dam. And my sister drove and brought us up here to school. Of course, there was no reason for me to come as far as being able to get what I needed down South Portsmouth. I was a freshman, and they had 2 years of high school down there. But Thelma couldn't get what she needed. She was a senior, and Daddy would not allow one of us to go to one school and one the other. We both had to go together because he said it looked like we didn't get along very good if she dropped me off. And then he didn't want her driving those other few miles by herself. And so that was Fullerton, and they continued to call that Fullerton School until that closed, didn't they?
I believe they did.
Although this was South Shore, and the people around that particular area got their mail at South Shore. I'm wondering when that name was changed from Fullerton to... I know Fullerton had the lower post office, 2 miles down below here?
Something like that.
And South Shore acquired a post office over where we call the corner now.
Yeah.
And but when did that South Shore post office come in there, and when was the boundary line fixed?
I'm not sure of the date on that.
Well,
but I don't believe that South Portsmouth, the South Shore Post Office is there as long as the school was over here, was it?
Now the new building wasn't there. I don't know. I really don't know.
We got our mail down at the post office in Fullerton.
And the next one up was Taylor, wasn't it?
Yeah, up at McCall's or Taylor, up here at the Brickyard.
Right. There was a post office right there at the Brickyard.
Yeah, and at their company store in the Brickyard right there, that company store.
And Jake Sammons and his wife took care of that a while, didn't they?
They might have.
I believe they
did. I know Doc McCall did have it, and then there was a Jones that was in there and had it, and I don't know.
But you know, we used to have a little post office about every 2 miles or three, and now you get
Siloam.
Limeville and Gray's Branch and right on up the river, and now you start out, you've got this one here at South Shore, and there's not another one till you get to Greenup.
That's right. South Portsmouth, South Shore, and then Greenup, huh?
That's right. But going out through the country the other day, I saw something that honestly looks like a matchbox turned up on its end almost, and it's the Carter City Post Office. It doesn't look like it's 6x6, really. Have you ever noticed that?
No, I haven't been out that way in some time.
Then over in Ohio, just almost across the river, they've got one at Rock Hill that looks like the same thing, except it's brick. And
it's where you go into Ironton, isn't it, Rock Hill?
And it's amazing, though, to see the changes that have transpired just during our lifetime. You can imagine what it was back.
Well, I can remember when we had the exchange in Fullerton. We used to know about everybody around Fullerton, but guys, since it's built up, South Shore and everything, there's so many people. It's, you know, moved in and took residences, and I don't know them.
What hasn't been many years that I could drive along and tell you who lived in every house? and how many children they had.
Right.
But I'm like you now. You mention somebody, and no, we don't know those people, but they live right under our nose. But I noticed in last night's paper this morning.